What's the title of today's message? It's time to live again. It's time to live again. Amen. Let me ask you this. How do you feel about birthdays? Great. All right. Good, good, good. Now, some of us, when we think of birthdays, a smile comes on our face and we're praise God. Others of us think of birthdays and we, oh no, not another one already again. Sometimes we dread it as though something bad is about to happen. Now today as a church, we celebrate our 46th anniversary. How many of you out there think that 40 is really getting kind of old and 50 is really pushing?
Not me.
Everybody under 30. How many of you out there believe that 40 is you just getting to your potential and 50 you just about to take things in stride? Praise God. You can tell how old this congregation is. But you know, life can beat up on us so badly, and that's what determines how it is that we look forward to birthdays or how it is we do not look forward to birthdays. But birthdays can also be a chance for us to recognize that God has given us a new year and that it's time to live again no matter what. You see, even in our darkest moments, God has a plan that leads us back to life. You may be starting to, some of us are going to start back school. It's not even October yet. And some of y'all are already messing up in school. Amen? But the good news is, it's not over yet. Some of you, you may have already lost your boyfriend. You may have already lost your girlfriend. You thought this was going to be the one, and it turned out it wasn't. Some of us, we've had some dreams for our family that we really wanted to see come together this year, and it seems like it's just not going to happen. Some of us have had a vision for ministry that we thought God was going to do and we thought God was going to work out for us, and it just didn't kind of happen that way. Some of us, we got some health issues that we really thought had gotten behind us, and all of a sudden, they right back here in the forefront all over again, and you're starting to worry about it. Some of you have still been waiting on that job to come, and it hasn't come, but the bills keep coming in, and you get more and more and more nervous about it. You know, in all of these situations, it's very easy to start to get discouraged. I had one of those discouraging moments in my ministry coming back out from vacation. I came back here all excited. Pastor Tobin and I talked about what we was expecting God to do. And that first Sunday, I got up to preach here in, I think September was my sermon. I looked out there, and there was just as many people in worship that Sunday, both services, as there were at the end of the first year that we had been here. And I'm like, Lord, after 19 and a half years of hard work, right back where we started from, I'm like, what on earth is going on? But you know, sometimes it's really not a matter of what's going on. It's a matter of, can you be faithful right where you are? I want you all to accept this. There is no perfect place you are going to get to where everything is all right. When I just get such and so, when I just get such and so. No, we got to learn how to enjoy God and start to live again right where we are. Some of us, we got circumstances far better than we imagined. You know what? Tell your neighbor, there's a million people that'll trade places with you. A million of them. And there's about 5 million you definitely wouldn't trade places with. Sometimes it all depends on what it is we are looking at. I want us to look at a Bible character this morning by the name of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's name means he who strengthens. And Ezekiel was born into a family of priests. And back at this time, Solomon had built this beautiful temple. I mean, this thing was magnificent. The sanctuary and everything, the doors, they had artwork in this place. It was simply absolutely gorgeous. And Ezekiel, every time he would walk past that temple, he would think in his mind, one day I'm going to work there. One day the people are going to come to me and I'm going to represent them before God. One day I'm going to be working in that temple. I'm going to be the one that's doing the sacrifices on behalf of the people. One day I'm going to move up the ranks of the priests and maybe perhaps even one day become one of the chief priests. And Ezekiel spent his entire young life preparing to one day serve in the temple. And the Jewish law said that when a man reached 30 years of age, he was finally ready to go into the temple in order to be a priest. And Ezekiel was thinking, all I got to do is make it to that 30th birthday. He was waiting on that 30th birthday because that's when he was planning on really starting to live. Now, how many of you have been where Ezekiel was and you were saying, one day I'm going to be on that team. One day I'm going to get that job. One day I'm going to have that promotion. One day my husband's going to start acting right. One day I'm going to get married. One day I'm going to finish my education. One day I'm going to get out of this neighborhood. One day I'm going to do this. One day I'm going to do that. And you know something? We all may have visions of that one day when something is going to happen. And it's good to have that vision. But we also must realize that sometimes life brings interruptions. Tell your neighbor, be ready for an interruption. It is coming. And none of us are gods. And all of us need a Savior to be prepared to walk with us through this world. There is going to be a stumbling block between you and your one day experience. And what are you going to do when that one day hits? Go back with me for a moment in history. Let's go back to around 587 BC when Ezekiel is looking forward to that one day becoming a priest. Now, while he's looking forward to becoming a priest, the people are just living wild, crazy lives. They won't listen to God. All they're interested in is money, sex, worshiping false idols, and having a good time. Financially, things were prospering. As far as hearing from God, they could have cared less. Hard to believe there was a group of people like us a long time ago, isn't it? God told them, he said, if y'all don't stop, I'm going to remove you from my presence. And their response to Ezekiel and all the other prophets was, who is the Lord that we should serve him? Who is God that we should give him our time? What had they forgotten? They forgot he was the God who brought them up out of Egypt. They forgot he was the God who put the health and life in their body, the light in their eyes. They forgot he was the one that got them up out of bed each and every morning. They forgot he was the only reason their enemies hadn't destroyed him. They forgot that God was really the one that was in control of everything. But they refused to repent. They refused to turn back to God. I mean, you know, God can do what God says he's going to do. God raised up the Babylonian army, which was way over in Iraq. And about 600 years before Jesus came, the Babylonian army, who was known for their fierceness and their brutality, came pouring into the land of Israel. And they tore down those gates. They came into the city. They started slaughtering everybody. Young, old, men, women, boys, girls, did not matter to them. And then they went to this magnificent temple that Solomon had built, that it stood for 400 years and lit it on fire, and that huge temple was left a group of rubble and ashes. And the people who were not slaughtered, who were professionals, they took all of them captives to another country. They took them then almost to what we know as Iraq. And the historians tell us that Ezekiel was about 25 years old when he was taken captive by the Babylonian army. You know what that means? He was 5 birthdays away from obtaining his goal of serving as a priest. He was there in Jerusalem watching his dreams go up in flames as the temple burned and the city walls were destroyed. And all of this was happening, ruining his dreams. And Ezekiel tells us in chapter 1 of verse 1, he says, when he was 30 years old, he was among the captives by the river Kibar. Now, if somebody asks you, where is the Kibar River? You say, I heard of the Jordan River and might have heard of the Nile River, but as far as that Kibar River, I don't even know if that one's in the Bible. Well, the Kibar River was a canal off the Euphrates River, which was in Babylon or current present-day Iraq. How many of you know this was not how he had planned on celebrating his 30th birthday? He had envisioned at age 30 he would be in Jerusalem ascending to the priesthood. He had envisioned that his family would be there all smiled and dressed and cheering him on for the graduation ceremony. He had envisioned being at the top of his game. But it didn't happen that way. Tell your neighbor, life don't turn out like you always expected. Instead of being sharp and dressed and ready to graduate, he finds himself in rags, just a step above of being a slave, as a captive and poor and no property that he could call his own. He's talking about being in a place with no hope for the future and thinking that things can't get any worse than this. You ever been in a place where you thought things cannot get any worse than this? Ezekiel's 30th birthday was so far removed from where he thought he was going to be, it wasn't even funny. Have you ever had circumstances in your life where it just gets so bad that all you can do is just laugh about it? There have been some times, Pastor Tobin and I be talking in bed, and we talk about how bad this is and bad that is, and just look at each other and start laughing. May as well find something good. Something good out of it. Sometimes it's good to laugh in order to keep your sanity. But you know something? Bad as it was, didn't keep Ezekiel from opening his mouth, didn't keep Ezekiel from speaking for God. You see, you really don't know what your relationship with God is like until things go wrong. You can fool yourself while everything is going fine. You can pretend as much as you want to. But when things go downhill, that's when you find out if you're trusting in God or if you're trusting in yourself. Because that's when you find out there is a price to pay to follow Jesus Christ. In chapter 37, verse 1, Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. Whose hand did he say was upon him? The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit. Ask your neighbor, whose hand is on you today? Whose hand is on you today that's influencing what you do, where you go, how you think, what's got your time, what's got your energy? Whose hand is upon your life. Is it the hand of the street? Is it the hand of the music industry? Is it the hand of the television? Is it the hand of the recreation? Is it the hand of money? Is it the hand of an addiction? You see, you need to find out whose hand is upon you, because you might need to say, get that hand off of me. You might need to take that thing and throw it halfway across the country. That hand is going to take you somewhere. Don't put your blind trust in it. Open your eyes and see where it is it's going. Now, if God's hand is upon you, just like he grabbed Ezekiel for a purpose, God has grabbed you for a purpose. And sometimes the hand of God is going to take you some places you don't want to go. I want you to imagine with me for a moment this scene where God is about to take Ezekiel. Imagine that there's these two massive armies colliding with each other. And they come together with their swords and their spears and they're fighting, and the slaughter is just awesome. By the time the battle is over, there are so many dead folk, the living ones don't have enough time nor energy to bury them all. So they just take off what they can take off that's worth taking, and they leave. There they are, these bodies laying out there. As time is passing, flesh disappears. And then you got all these bones. And the sun is beating down on these bones. And these bones become bleached white in the sun. It's an eerie sight. You got a skull over here. You got a leg bone over there. You got some rib bones over there. And you're like, ooh. The scripture says when the hand of God was upon Ezekiel, God placed him in the midst of this valley of dry bones. He's putting him in this massive cemetery. I think that would have been enough to get some of us running as fast as we can. God, I think, is saying is, you think you and your people had it bad. What about all these people that were here at this battle? All of their hopes, all of their dreams, all of their fears, all of it is gone. Look at how dry these bones are. They've been here a long time. And then God asks Ezekiel the impossible. He says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? My friends, I think God asks us all that question. When we look around our lives and we see what is dead and dying, God asks the question, can these bones live? Can this situation come back to life? Can life be brought out of this disaster? And Ezekiel responded, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone knows. I want us to notice that Ezekiel admits, I ain't got the answer to that question. I don't know if they can or I can't, but God, you know. I want us to notice that Ezekiel knew that God could do things that he might not be able to comprehend. Now, I don't know what bad decisions you may have made to have caused them dry bones around your life. I don't know what your situation really is like at home. I don't know why it's been so hard for you to find a job. I don't know if you're going to lose your home, if you're going to lose your car. I don't know when things are going to turn around for you. But I do know who has the power to make it so that you can live again. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You see, my friend, it's time for us to start to live again by putting our faith and our confidence in Jesus. Ezekiel says there in verse 4, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make your flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Now I want you to notice here that God didn't do everything by himself. A lot of times we pray, God do, God do, God do, God do. God says, I want you to do something too. Notice too that God's plan was a little bit out of the ordinary. Some of us are already scared and shaking that we're in the midst of all these bones, and now God wants us to start to talk to the bones? You have got to be kidding. We would have objected to talking to the bones, because some of us, if we can't talk to a whole lot of people, we don't want to go anywhere for God. If we can't sing before a whole lot of people, we'd rather not sing. If we can't dance before a whole lot of people, we'd rather just not do it. Some of us would have said, God, I can't make them bones move. We think we need to be super spiritual in order to be used by God. God is saying, no, just take the first step of doing what I told you to do. We're so afraid of failure, we don't act in time. And some of us are afraid that something might happen if we speak to them bones. What if they start moving? We got the other problem. We're afraid of success. My friends, the first thing we need to do is to do what God tells us to do. You know, it's amazing to me how we as Christians continually think we can ignore the steps and plans of God and still have God's blessing upon our lives. Obedience is the key to getting life. Say that. Obedience is the key to getting life. You know, I'm amazed. We want God to bless us with finances, and we won't tithe. Yet God says, if you want to be blessed financially, bring me in a tithe and see if I won't bless you. No. Y'all rather take the shortcut. Pastor Rick, will you pray for me that the Lord will bless me financially? Are you tithing? Pastor Rick, could you please just pray for me that God will bless me? We can't shortcut what God has already said for us to do. God says, test me in this. See if I won't bless you. How long do you have to be saved to know that if you're not tithing, you're being disobedient to God? We want God to bless our relationships. How long do you have to be saved to know if you do not treat others in the way you want to be treated, you're going to have a mess in your home? I can pray until Jesus comes that you get along better with each other. But if you're not loving, if you're not kind, if you're not forgiving, it's not gonna happen. How long do you have to be saved to know if you want to change on the outside, it starts with a change on the inside? Ezekiel did what God told him to do. And he began to speak the word of God over this hopeless situation. And we need to start to speak the word of God over our hopeless situation. The word of God says, God will provide for all my needs. Therefore, I will put my faith and trust in him in my giving and start tithing. The word of God says, God wants me to prosper. I will go and fill out that college application. I will go after that job. The word of God says, I can have a good marriage. I will humble myself and love my spouse. Yeah, a little humility goes a long way in relationships. The word of God says, he who Jesus sets free is free indeed. That means I will not be addicted to that stuff anymore. I will not keep going down that street anymore. I will not keep holding that number in my phone just in case. Some of us need to just take the phone out right now. delete. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which means I will not let my present circumstances cause me to lose my joy and my faith in God. All of a sudden, Ezekiel did what God told him to do and started prophesying. And you know what started happening? Bones started bumping into each other. Bones started crawling over the floor. You see, the bones had to get back with the body where they had been, because somebody had walked through the valley and kicked this bone on over there and kicked that one all over there. And these bones, they just started moving toward each other. How many of y'all know y'all would have been gone when you saw that happening? Skulls and ribs and fingers and toes and everything getting back together again. And then when the skeleton lays there, all of a sudden you see tendons growing on the bones, and then the muscle, and then the skin. And then you look around and you see this huge, vast army of dead people laying there. How many of y'all praying, please God, take me out of here. I got it. Shake it away. Don't get scared when you hit a rattle in the bones when God starts doing something in your life. Because you see, that's just somebody telling you, you can't do it. You can't make it work. It's not going to happen for you. You may as well give up. I know my cousin had that same problem 5 years ago. And child, here's what you need to do right then and now. Your cousin didn't have Jesus 5 years ago. You need to be doing what the Word of God tells you to do right here and now. Ezekiel finds out, sees all these bodies coming, and God tells him to prophesy once again. Then he said to me in verse 9 and 10, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast army. I want us to see that even though things may come back together for us, it's not enough to think that we can handle it from here. We still need to have the Spirit of God breathing on the inside of us and working in whatever it is that God is pulling back together again. It looked like God was taking Ezekiel to a cemetery, but God was actually taking him to a place to discover how it was God was going to bring them back to life again. Don't run from God yet. Don't run from your situation yet. God is taking you to a place to find out how to find life and make your situation work. God told Ezekiel, these bones are just like my people. They don't have any hope. Doesn't look like anything is working for them. But just like I brought these bones back together, I'm going to bring my people back together. I'm going to put them back in their own country. I'm going to bless them. And then they will know that I am the Lord, their God, who did it for them. You see, my friend, there may be people who may have written you off already. You ain't never going to amount to anything. It just ain't going to happen for you. I want you to know there was a guy in our New Testament reading by the name of Lazarus. And Lazarus was one of those individuals who died a little bit sooner than he was supposed to die. You see, the scriptures do say you could die ahead of time. Now, Lazarus died ahead of time in order so that God might get the glory. And when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said that Lazarus is asleep. I got to go wake him up. And since it was dangerous for Jesus to go where Lazarus was, the disciples said, well, if your brother is asleep, just let him wake up on his own. Jesus had to tell him, Lazarus is dead. And when Jesus got to where Lazarus was, the people told Jesus, you know, Jesus, if you had gotten here sooner, the brother wouldn't have died. And then they told Jesus, Jesus, if you try to do something now, it's going to be too late. Because Jesus, the brother, is really stinking really bad. So it's not going to work. I want you to know that Jesus didn't listen to any of them. Jesus said, take the stone away. Jesus didn't say, would somebody please go in and get Lazarus out? Jesus didn't say, death, would you please let him out? Jesus didn't say, oh, I sure hope I can pull this thing off. Jesus said, Father, I thank you for what you're about to do. And Jesus then said, Lazarus, come out. And just like those bones, almost 600 years, had started coming back together again, Lazarus' body started coming back together again. Fingers quit being as stiff as they were. Life started coming back in him. He starts breathing, and Lazarus comes walking out of that temple, out of that cave. And that was the last some of y'all saw of that miracle, because y'all was gone. But for those of us who stood there and hung around to see what was going to happen next, Jesus said, take the grave clothes off of him and let him go. My friends, we need to be willing to take the grave clothes off of us and let ourselves go. You know that you most, a lot of times, you're part of the problem too. It is so easy for us to blame this and blame that. And Jesus has said, take your own grave clothes off and let it go. It was time for Lazarus to live again. It's time for you to start to live again. What you need to do, though, is to take those grave clothes off and let it go. Make up your mind, for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your faith. And most of all, don't lose your praise. Karen is going to come and bless us with a song to remind us, don't lose your hope, don't lose your joy, don't lose your faith, and don't lose your praise.